This is a production of Cornell University.
January 26, 2009, GPSA meeting.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and bring the meeting to order at 5:32, January 26th, first meeting of the spring semester, first business meeting of the spring semester. So welcome. I think everybody has been here before at least once, but for those of you who are new, my name is Michelle Weinfelder. I'm the president of the GPSA. This is Deandra Rose. She's our VP of Operations, and Mario Guerrero is our executive vice president. We'll go ahead and, well, first of all, are there any introductions, anybody that is new that I'm not seeing? Anybody who wants to do an introduction? Yeah. I'm sorry, say your name again. Oh, great. Great. Welcome. Anyone else? Introduction. Okay, good. Well, we always like to create a mood here at the GPSA, hence the lighting. We don't know what the lighting's all about, but hopefully everybody can see. We printed out a fewer number of agendas, well, entire packets, in fact. So the agenda, the resolutions, and whatever notes that we have for the meeting are all included in this packet. Please share. And I also sent those things out ahead of time, so I will try to continue to do that in the future. I know it probably seems a little bit like I'm inundating you with a lot of information, but it will help to make those meetings go nice and smooth if we look at things ahead of time. So, that being said, we'll move right into approval of the minutes from the November meeting. If there are any changes to be made, please bring those up now. Here. Okay, so do you want to make a motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? And abstention? None. So we will move minutes down to item number 4 then. Or no, excuse me. Well, it'll be just after committee update. All right, so then executive update. Mario, you want to start?
Sure. First and foremost, I just want to let you know that finally we got widespread dissemination of the GPSA info. We actually asked the graduate school to send it out, and they sent it out, I think, multiple times. So I just wanted to really quickly check, did anybody not receive it? Do you have there a field or anything like that? Your field didn't send it?
Well, those are professional schools, so we were not able to get it. I mean, we had to go through the grad school.
Well, my program is a professional program, and we sent it out. We're not a school, but we got it, so I'll have to.
Did it go out on the graduate front student advocate list, which is one of the GPI outcomes? So it should have gone to both the law and the business school. Is that you sent your back? Yes. And yeah, in the doctor school, Mario, your professional program is covered through the graduate school. Okay, well, I'll work on my colleagues that hold the student service position in those schools and the professional schools to see what might have happened.
Thank you.
Can you forward it to Carlene?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's see.
Wait, are you guys not subscribed on the list to begin with?
So I didn't send it out through our list because it was sent out to the grad school.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I didn't send it out to the list.
I gotcha. Okay.
So Carly and Kate. Okay. I wanted to put it forward. This is the second year that I've been at Cornell, and the second year that I get a lot of complaints from certain students about not having MLK day off. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of planning at Cornell, and, you know, there's a requirement of dates, but I wanted to put it out there. I think that it's worthwhile to put a resolution that we would support something like that. So I don't necessarily want to discuss it, but if anyone's interested at this time, but if anybody's interested in putting something together, I am going to work on that and bring it to this body for consideration. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to do due diligence. I'm going to talk to the right people at the university to talk about logistics. Again, I know that there are reasons why that is. Yes.
If you'd like someone to work on that, that's a whole issue.
Yeah. Okay. So for the core meeting coming up, we're going. Just wanted to give you a heads up. It's going to be shortened from 6 to 7. There's an event that's happening right before that. Mike Danaher, which I guess is the Assistant Attorney General for New York, he's coming and presenting from 4 to 6 at Willard Street Hall. And we've worked with a group on campus to make accommodations for that. So if you want to attend that's 4 to 6. Our meeting's going to take place, again, this is the upcoming core meeting. It's going to take place for 1 hour, right after. What was that? In March? Okay, that's embarrassing. Okay, disregard that. Disregard that. We have a full-on meeting this meeting. That's it for me. Can I have that chicken?
So I just want to make a really quick point about committee reports, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who represents grad and professional students on committees, and to also thank you for submitting your committee reports if you have. If you have not, no worries, you can do that in the future. And so what I'm going to try to continue doing is sending out the form. We have a really quick form. It's not anything that's too cumbersome. And I'll try to do my best to send it out a week to 2 weeks prior to the first. And if the first can be our official due date for the court forms, that would be great. So all of the chairs, our internal chairs, have sent regular reports. So I'm just really hoping to take or to stay in greater touch with people who are like external committee reps. So if you know any of them, please, if you want to mention those committee reports.
Thank you. I'm not getting any emails from you about reminders for reports, so I don't know if that means that the list is a little odd, because I'm one of your...
That
you may want to check that, because I know I've forgotten to submit my committee report, because I'm not getting reminders of any reminders these days.
Okay.
So maybe something you want to check.
Okay. I can say that I have not received my report either.
Alright, well, I'm on it. So,
we'll
work on it.
Alright,
that's all for me.
Okay. So my update, a few things. I tried to put some of these announcements in the email reminder about the meeting just because there were some finer details. But first of all, graduate community advisors, they're still looking for those. So these are graduate students who live at graduate student housing units, so Hasbrook, Maplewood, Schuyler House. Applications for that are due this Wednesday, January 30th, so quick turnaround. West Campus is still looking for graduate resident fellows. So these are, I'm sorry?
One time.
Oh, there we go. So those applications are due February 2nd. And I think this information will be going out in the next GPSA info, but again, just to give you a couple more days to think about these things. The Student Leadership Institute at Cornell, so this is something a few of us attended last year. It's called at Willard Strait. It's hosted by the Dean of Students Office. That is February 8th. If you would like to attend, please let me know. We'll see if there's a $10 fee, but we'll see if GPSA funds can cover that. To apply, you need to go online, and those applications, I believe, are also due this Wednesday, the 30th. So just go online. It's a quick application, but you do need to apply. And then Hasbrook contract. So we've been working, Brenda, Mario, and I, we've had meetings with, and Deandra, at various times, with Campus Life, representatives from Campus Life. And they have changed their contract for the coming year. So single students will be, they will have contracts for singles to live at Hasbrook. That's never happened before. So a single student can take a two-bedroom apartment, which will be modified as a one-bedroom plus study, or two singles who are not related can live together in a single or in a two-bedroom unit at Hasbrook. So these are new contracts. It's really important that we get that word out, because with the budget situation, if Hasbrook apartments are not filled by graduate students, we've been voicing our opinions. We passed the resolution last semester about housing, but with the budget situation that we have, it's going to be a shot in the dark that they let any bed go untaken next year. So really get the word out. We want to try to fill those beds with graduate students and not have the university put undergrads. We want to show that there is a demand for graduate student housing. So please advertise that widely to your field. And then finally, President Skorton will be coming to our business meeting next month, so I believe that's February 23rd, whatever the next business meeting is. So he'll be here just like he was in the fall for questions and answers. Certainly this is that would be an opportunity for you to bring up any questions you might have about the financial status of the university or anything else that's going on. And I think I'll leave it at that for now. Any questions about the things we've mentioned? Okay. I actually noticed that I forgot to put open forum on the agenda. So we'll go ahead and insert an open forum. Are there any announcements from the floor? Brenda.
Just a couple of announcements of new endeavors that I'd like to share with you guys. One that also went out over Bears and Country Listeners was about the Museum of Students effort to have a grad cohort of years training. Result of a lot of lobbying and a lot of conversation on the university level. I just sent a trip to Harvard. Harvard has had a peer support program for graduate students for over 22 years. It's been very successful. So there's now training underway through years. There's a postdoc and I believe a graduate student who are co-facilitating with the year staff, Alice Green, who's a wonderful woman. So fabulous program, and we're really happy with that. Alice told me last week that 35 people had indicated interest in being trained. They would be before actually 15 of those people successfully complete the training program. So that was very exciting, and I think it will be helpful. Not sure details of how it will work yet, but the training is underway and will be implemented hopefully by the end of the semester. Can't wait to have more about
you. Well, now that we're down with it, I just wanted to say I'm sure all of you read President Skorton's article in the paper today. And the university, as you know, is undergoing a very serious financial contraction and has to react in ways to reduce its expenses. It will include budgetary reductions, it will include layoffs to some extent, although we'd love to be minimized that, obviously, it's a real hardship. Several things have to go through a layoff experience, so we want to try to avoid that. But I guess I would invite you and GPSA to think about ways that you might contribute to the university's economic situation, you know, in the United States. You know, if you think about what you want to do as a representative student body, I think you can do a lot. I'm asking the student assembly to do the same thing. Things like the community's fee, various events, convocation, commencement, all those things are candidates for trimming, so we can save some money. Really, just a huge amount of money to pull out of our university budget in the next 2 years.
Any other announcements from the floor?
Can I just make a comment to the student activity fees and budget?
what I hope doesn't happen and I fear might happen, since next year is a student activity year, and I'll make this short, is that cuts in budget equate to massive increases in student activity. Because I don't think that really accomplishes anything. So, because we're probably going to see those in the fall.
I don't actually know how much, I mean, in terms of the things that we've got, Byline Fund, if anybody has more information, but their budgets, I don't know how much of their budgets come from our student activity fee versus other university funds, things like Cornell Cinema, Programming Board. Aaron, do you have any?
No, I don't, but I
all right. Any other comments from the floor? Okay. So we'll move on to committee updates. We'll start off with the Student Advocacy Committee and Brian.
So Student Advocacy met last week. The minutes were posted on the GPS website this morning, so you're welcome to go on and read what that meeting entails. Just briefly, a few things. As far as dinner and healthcare, Bryony and Andrew Davis, also from our committee, who met with Sharon Dittman in November to begin working on revising all the publications to make the stipulation, what if I'm in Geneva, more clear, and while at the same time they're reviewing all their other documents and websites to make things a little clearer to graduate students. We received an email from a graduate student regarding insurance, so advocacy was planning to meet the insurance officer anyway, so at that point we'll discuss what that student asked us. Basically, he was commenting on insurance dues and why should graduate students have to pay the dues all up front. So that's something that I think we need to discuss with that. Our contact sheet, which I've talked about last semester, is now complete. We're now trying to get it posted either onto the Office of Assemblies website and or the graduate school website. And once that link is available, it'll go out to all the core and assembly members for distribution to all fields. Two more things. Advocacy will be hosting a town hall meeting this semester. I originally put in for March 26th, and I got an email back saying rejected. So I got to find another day and time.
Rejected for what?
Using the bond.
So,
as soon as I have the date and the time, I'll let you know. On the GPSA info that's going out this week, there will be a survey from advocacy for graduate and professional students to give us feedback as to how exactly we should set up and run this town hall meeting. As soon as we have more details on that, we should let you simply know. And finally, what Michelle has posted on the screen is our working procedure. So I'll come back to this in a few minutes when I introduce Resolution R5. But advocacy was charged last year to have a working procedure ready by the first GPSA meeting of the spring semester this year. And hence, here it is presented to the GPSA. So basically what it covers is our focus, what the membership is, and more working model of how our working model, basically. When we have meetings, what specifically we're going to look at as far as graduate and professional student life, non-academic, as well as the situation of hosting the town hall meeting and what that purpose is and what's done after the meeting as far as who we need to discuss the results. So, on behalf of advocacy, we present our working procedures to the GPSA. That's all for me.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Brian?
Oh, one more thing. I have to thank Kate, who our event committee is going to be helping us with our town hall meeting, so I'd like to thank you and your committee.
So with that, Kate. All right, events committee update.
Okay, so tonight actually is our next meeting, and we're going to be planning and decisions about Rally Hall. We got a lot of feedback from some of the other teams about location, price, volunteer, lots of proof of funds, and
any questions or comments for Kate?
I also wanted to throw up that we had a discussion on any books about more of a family friendly right coming out. So we've been considering doing probably a building at the Women's Center, and maybe might be able to have
comments. All right, then. Charter Review Committee. Amy and Preston?
Okay, so the Charter Review Committee met on January 15th. We had every single member of our committee together, which was absolutely fantastic. We have a list of kind of task items that people are working on right now, but a couple of the big ones that I wanted to highlight, and if you have feedback, please let Preston and I know so that we can kind of start to address some of them. So one of the big things that we discussed as we went through things was the fact that we've been spending a lot of time in the last couple of years amending our charter for things that really fit more so in working procedures, and that there are solid working procedures set out for each committee, kind of how the advocacy committee set up and things like that. So it makes it difficult sometimes for new committee chairs to come in. So what we've asked all the committee chairs to do is to put together a set of working procedures, and we're going to start creating a bylaw document and put into place somebody who is in charge of reviewing this bylaws document with the committee chairs over the period of the summer before classes start. So at the first meeting, it's proposed and voted on by the new assembly. And with the bylaws, you can now change it. If at the meeting something is proposed, you can change how a committee is functioning in that way, and to leave our charter as a much more concise, straightforward document, and that doesn't require changing every single year, as we've been doing recently. So other than that, we're just going through and streamlining and hitting a few main things. If you have any specific suggestions of things you'd like to see in there, again, please feel free to contact us. Our next meeting will be February 6th. At 5 p.m. in Hollister Hall. So if you want the room location, call them. contact us and we'll send it out. But we will be proposing, we will at least present documents at the next core meeting, possibly, if things like that. So, any questions?
So, just a point of clarification, Amy mentioned bylaws that could be changed in the meeting that they're proposed. So, currently, our charter, with charter changes, we have to have two meetings, and we'll go through this with R5, which is on our agenda tonight. We'll discuss it tonight, but because there are charter changes, those changes we will not actually vote on the resolution until next meeting. Okay, so charter changes require two meetings to read over the resolution. Also, depending on the part of the charter that we change, sometimes those changes have to be approved by President Sporton. So it's a much longer process than just having things in a set of bylaws.
So things like what committees we appoint people to, all this kind of stuff, that tend to change every single year. It's a much more streamlined effect so that we don't have to have a ton of meetings. And when we only meet once a month, this makes things a little more time.
So, yeah.
I appreciate that question. I'm wondering whether this is historically equitable, so that you might have a respect on it. Did the charter really change that often, or are we just currently at a time where
I went back through the documents over the last 5 years, and there's at least about two charter change documents a year. And so, I went through this last year when we finally updated the charter and sent an updated one to you. And so there's at least two a year, sometimes more. And
I would say on that, before my time, it was also on average.
But we're also being very conscious of the fact that creating more leadership positions is difficult, and we're trying to figure out the solutions to that. Putting somebody in charge of this, because the exec is already quite busy. So we're having some good discussions about that.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, I just want to thank all the committee chairs, anybody who's serving on a committee. I know you're working really hard, and we appreciate that. So keep up the good work. So we'll go back to approval of the minutes. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to glance those over.
Yeah, so second paragraph.
I won't bring that up now, but I'll look for to see if I have a number. If not, Amy and I will be in touch to get that changed. Anything else? Yeah.
Yeah, in the budget that is attached, can I make a motion to change to remove reduce the front in the columns that we have there in those ones. On both pages, and instead give the whole document to either GTSA and I in insertion approved the budget.
Sorry, say that again.
So,
I don't actually have what you have in front of me. Can I adopt that?
Here.
Well, what I have may not be what's printed. Can I see what's printed, please?
No, it's just printed.
Is it what I have here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in that spreadsheet, I mean, this is the one that we have up there, right?
Oh,
but it still says in front of me.
Okay.
So, move to those cases. And then there and further below, or wherever that is. So let's be in cash flow statement for the end.
Okay, sorry, that's my mistake. This was just the file that I had, and I wanted to include it for this.
Okay.
That
way we can do it. So
can I make a suggestion? Can you update the documents and just forward it on, and then we'll go from there. Not necessarily right now, just that way we can just get all the changes since you were president and you have had all the feedback, and then just forward it on.
I mean, that we put some voting on these meetings, these minutes until the next meeting when the appropriate changes can be made. I know we like to.
Okay, but in fact, the budget has already been voted on and approved. It's the minutes that we're approving now.
Yep.
So if there is nothing incorrect in the minute statement, basically the budget was provided just as a reference for those minutes, so you could go back and look at the finer details if you wish. But the budget has been approved. Granted, there was a little bit of miswording, perhaps this is just my document, but the numbers themselves are a reflection of what was voted on and approved at the last meeting.
I'd like to make a motion that pending the review of the audio recording on the point that Representative Schmidt mentioned that we approve these minutes.
Okay. Second. All in favor, let's raise your placard. So this is approval of the minute pending the correction of Harvard's expenditures on Ivy Summit.
16.
Okay, 16 in favor. Any opposed? None. And one abstention. Thank you. Minutes approved. All right. Next item of business. Still in old business, resolution 4. So we looked at resolution 4 during the November meeting. This is looking at the Cornell academic calendar, and again, brief background, Dean of Faculty Bill Fry sent me an email saying this is something that the Faculty Senate has talked about, and we would like the opinion of the GPSA, the SA, the UA, the EA, because it is something that will affect all of us, all of the Cornell community. So the charter, I did not change any of the wording since the last time we looked at it. We had some discussion on it, and I want to bring it back for a vote. So notice there is some wording where I said something like supports or does not support. We need to, decide which one of those we want, and then we need to think about how we would phrase this second, be it therefore resolved, statement. So we can open it up for discussion, amendment, voting.
I would just, this is what I would what I would do, and I guess I want to put it out there before making a motion to amend. But I would say that generally we would support something like this, and that really where it says be it further resolved, that this goes for Labor Day, extended fall break, or Thanksgiving break, that any of those would be a good suggestion, and that's up to them to make a decision. Because I think any of those, and I also think that if we were to kind of debate the thing, each school, field, department, whatever, is going to have different preferences because of our schedules and what we already know to be our field work. So that would be my suggestion. And
okay.
So forget it. I'll make a motion to amend. I see some people go like this. I would make a motion to amend the resolution to state that GPSA supports beginning the fall semester on a Wednesday. That's point number 3. And then.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor to amend that first be it therefore resolved statement. Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor of such an amendment that says, be it therefore resolved that the GPSA supports beginning the fall semester on a Wednesday and. Please raise your placard. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in favor. Any opposed? And abstentions. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 5 abstentions. So 12 in favor. That amendment passes. So now the resolution looks like this. Okay. So Mario brought up the next point. Are there any other comments on the second be it therefore resolved statement? Does anyone want to express an opinion?
Mario's suggestion is probably the best, because even in the initial conversations we had, different departments had different preferences. I mean, using TA training or whatnot. And so, with that, I motion.
I
motion that is this be it for the resolved clause say be it for the resolved that the opinion of the GPSA would be I withdraw that because I don't have a good wording. Does somebody have good wording for this?
So it's a little bit cumbersome right now as it stands. So I apologize.
You
for
can
that.
Make it like an either. So by either granting major day of the holiday, spending fall break by one day, spending the city break by one day, or some other, or whatever the department has, something else to that last.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Are we, is that to make it as a list? Are we, the opinion of the GPSA to end a day, the fall semester?
So, we've got a couple different things. First, we can say we want to activate the fall semester, meaning one more day of classes, or we want that day somewhere taken off as a holiday. So I think we would agree that we want a holiday. Okay. Okay. So then that part that's highlighted would be deleted in a motion that somebody makes.
I move to strike the highlighted line.
Second. All in favor of striking the highlighted line, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 in favor, opposed? Abstention? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions. Motion passed or amendment passes. So that part we've struck. So now the statement still has some choices, but I'm looking for another amendment or motion.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I would like to ask a question about the bubble. Yeah, would there be any budgetary advantages for threats and also have to get it off at least?
Possibly, I'm not sure. I guess that's what you're trying to say. It's a very strange day when the administrative staff are working with faculty aren't. I've been on both sides of the house, and it's strange for both of them. I imagine it's strange for you guys who wander around. Some are here and some aren't. So it is an incredibly unproductive day. Having a blanket holiday would also put us in line with the universities like Michigan and others where, labor's respected and we recognize you're finally taking a day off. Frankly, I've always wondered why we don't do it, and I support the particular motion.
I don't normally talk. It does affect the bargaining unit staff because they have to have a certain amount of day figures. So even though it affects me, the regular staff members, the bargaining unit, it does affect them because it's another holiday for them. So it'd be one less.
can't get Labor Day off?
I think they get Labor Day off already.
They get it off already?
Did you remove another holiday? Just one hand of fall break.
Well, I don't think it would change. I don't think it would change the status of Labor Day for staff. I think they would still get it off if they currently get it off, but this would grant the holiday for students and faculty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what.
Because bargaining units and staff already don't get fall break off. They're here as a working day for them. Could it be extended another day?
Fall break.
Still, right, but it's still tough to get. I mean, it's really pertinent. Yeah. I don't know the figures for the back, but it doesn't like a regular job staff is necessarily about the bargaining unit staff. So,
okay. Okay. Yes, I can't see who can. Asha, sorry, you're behind Nick.
Sorry,
if you see your face.
I'm trying to look at the thing. And,
gotcha.
So, for Thanksgiving, do we get that off on Wednesday?
We get the Wednesday before Thanksgiving starting at 1 p.m., so we get a half day. Right. Since I submitted the resolution, I would accept a friendly amendment, though it doesn't have to be taken, that we replace my forward slashes with or. So GPSA, the opinion of the GPSA is, to grant Labor Day as a holiday, or extend fall break by one day, or extend Thanksgiving Day break by one day. And then cancel out slash other.
So moved.
Well, I would take it as a friendly amendment, so. Is that agreeable to people? Okay. I mean, we still have to vote on the entire resolution.
I would just add to it, and if you're so open to taking as another friendly amendment, so at the end of that, to add with a preference for a day that does not have an impact on bargaining staff. Bargaining staff's
bargaining
units. Bargaining units. I don't know. Can you help me on that? Bargaining units. Work days. Current work schedule. Work days.
I'm hesitant to see that sort of there without all the information, knowing how it impacts. Because if GPSA were promoting a resolution and how it impacts the graduate student population, and I think if this were to come up, that the EA could also propose a resolution of how it impacts the staff, since they would have more information.
I'm not going to accept that as a friendly amendment. You can propose it as an amendment and we can vote on it.
Okay. I would offer it as an amendment only because I think that, it's, the economy being what it is, it's impacting us all. And if we can help another organization unit on campus, it actually, we help each other out. So I would make a motion to add at the end of the sentence with let me send it out. With a preference for a day that does not impact the working schedule of current bargaining units.
That does not what?
That does not impact the working schedule of current bargaining units.
Current bargaining units? Okay, so a motion's on the floor to amend the statement as shown in red. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brian. In favor of the amendment, please raise your placard. 2, 3. 3 in favor. How many opposed? 1, 2, 3 opposed, and abstentions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 abstentions. So the amendment does not pass. Yes.
Do they have to present the final decision that they come up with to the GPSA and for Google? So say they come back and say, we want to add a small rate, they have to come back to us.
I don't know the finer details of that, but I'll probably see Bill tomorrow morning. So I can talk to him about that. Okay, Rebecca?
I remember in the past we had to do
right.
That was implied.
Very true. Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Rebecca. So that is true. We generally approve the calendar for the next 5 years every year. Okay. So we have resolution 4 as shown on the screen. Are there any other amendments?
Let me just say that David Harris has returned to his role as deputy provost. So you may want to call him deputy provost instead of interim provost.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that I will take that as a friendly amendment. Okay. Anything else? So, can I have a motion?
Motion to approve the resolution.
Thank you. All in favor, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in favor. Opposed? 1 opposed. And abstentions? Wait, so 11 in favor?
Yes.
Okay, opposed 1 and abstentions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions. So the resolution passes. Thank you. All right. New business, resolution 5. Brian and Ryan.
Okay, so as Mike started to end when I interrupted him, Mike Walsh and Preston, the Pain Benefits Chair from last year, wrote the resolution R8, basically changing the name and the focus of Pain Benefits to Student Advocacy. And so the new Student Advocacy, which we've been working under this year, had two stipulations. The first was to develop a working model, so this is the second whereas statement, to develop a working model of our operation, so on and so forth, and the third whereas charged us to recommend further changes to the GPSA charter. So basically, our two resolved statements is one acknowledging that advocacy has complied with R8 and has distributed the working model tonight, and tonight's due date as well. We are requesting the following charter change to section 9.7 of the charter. We are requesting nothing to be taken out. We're requesting stuff to be added, which I've written in boldface if you take a look at. Basically, it's adding the comment that advocacy will do a town hall meeting at least once a year. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just highlighting so because the bold isn't showing up very well.
Okay. Basically, that we meet, that there's going to be a town hall meeting, at least once a year, and the other big part is the membership of our committee. So just to remind everyone, the way the advocacy committee was formed, we have the student, graduate and professional students that apply directly to advocacy, which were then applications were looked over and approved by operations and staffing. And with the approval of operations and staffing, any graduate student that serves on another graduate student committee whose focus was similar to advocacy would become members as well. So we've just added that stipulation. I've listed the committees currently that are part of advocacy with the last line that this is all under the consent of operations and staffing of that year. So if they choose to not have, for some reason, financial aid, the last line would stipulate that.
Discussion. You're on the Nighthawk and then Rebecca.
On the last point, I think if you want to write in the charge down that they are members, there should be a member of the committee. So many members who are not committed, 50 members by the 100 and I think it should be one of these to change the wording in the first part because the main team who is appointed. So we have to read the members of the committee shall be members of those committees. However, I think that I would suggest the same language to say that the operations and staffing committee shall consider appointing committee members of these committees to the advocacy. I don't think it's necessary to put in there that these committees are directly members of the committee. My impression is that it would be better to go for a smaller committee which can get feedback from people on issues rather than to make committees large.
So, what do you want me to change?
I'm suggesting to not appoint these committee members by default, but to rather, if I can, I can make a motion or I can make a motion. We want to change the wording after two votes.
Well, we're not voting on the resolution, so you can make suggestions, and Brian can change the wording and bring it back next meeting. So you can, we're just discussing, and so you can recommend that he change the wording.
I think it should rather read, in addition to those appointed as members of the advocacy committee, any operations and staffing committee shall consider to appoint any student currently serving on the university committee who is focused on college student advocacy. The committee should be considered strong too.
I'm trying to write what you said. So, the operations and staffing committee shall consider appointing
any graduate student who serves on a university committee whose focus follows. So it's basically just inserting some wording before any graduate student. Yeah, and removing the part that says extra 15 members.
Point of clarification. Would this be a change to the charter, or would this be adding it to the so-called... Okay. Then I would just say that this, to me, parts of it at least, sound like they would be better in a bylaw. So that's where... Okay, so if I'm not charter then...
But I'm asking to put this into the charter.
Okay,
please wait for the chair to recognize you to speak so that everybody gets a chance to speak. Brian.
So just to clarify, I believe in the new version of charter bylaws, the second section of this exhibit will probably go into the early action outline of the constitutional section. So basically that the final version is the chopping. But we should prove it as it will end it now.
Okay. So what you're saying is that perhaps that paragraph is going to get removed anyway in the next version that you bring.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait,
clarification. I think that we should address that in a separate issue. That would be something that the attorneys would be really against and find the whole process in our charter.
Okay.
So we should approve this basically as soon as that is changed.
Okay. All right. Carly.
So on February 5th, we're having a little meeting where we're going to be able to discuss the charter. Could we maybe incorporate that into the next meeting? Yeah, and then maybe.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it has to be brought forward. Because it's a charter change, it has to be brought forward to the entire assembly for discussion and then voting. Because as it currently stands, you know, we don't have this bylaws section of the charter.
Unfortunately, the fact that when we then have to bring this revised section of the charter that we have here, that we can then improve everything.
We need to withdraw.
Yeah.
Do you have a follow-up on what Carly? Okay, Aaron and then Brian.
I would like to point out that we need to secure because required for resolution.
Right, right.
But all this said is that the committee shall recommend the charter change. This has done happen. So we don't necessarily have a vote. We can also just take this and move this to the charter review committee if we are confident that the charter review committee will include this in an appropriate way in the new charter.
Okay. Right.
Just two comments. One, it's been brought to my attention. I missed something at the end. I forgot to include Dean Hubble.
Okay.
And second, I appreciate the comment that I have recommended changes, but after the work my committee has done in working on this, I don't want to just present something. And so, well, thank you for that. I would like for a change to go in.
Well,
that's nothing against what you said, but I'm not the type of person to like, I'm just going to present something so it could be, you know, put away somewhere else.
Okay. Amy?
Well, I don't think this is what it's going to go in the tenure, because I think with where we're at with the charter review, it makes a heck of a lot more sense to put everything together instead of we might approve this at the next meeting and then the charter review committee might try to do something else and might not be approved or you know what I mean, it just overlaps very poorly right now. If this was to be voted on at the next meeting and for consistency within the charter, so I think not to disrespect the work that the student advocacy committee did on this resolution, but in all honesty, I think the charter review committee will probably take this and use most of it, verbatim almost, take most of that second paragraph and probably put it into bylaw with many of the conversations we've been having. And so, I think the student advocacy committee can be assured that their time is not wasted.
Maria?
And in terms of, I agree. And in terms of the content, I just wanted to disagree in terms of not outlining who the members are. I think that as we've seen, my impression of currently having graduate students sit on committees, we have graduate students sit on committees, and they're great in terms of they represent graduate students, but in my opinion, and I could be wrong, very little comes back. And the point in putting these people in terms of information sharing, the point of putting these specific people in that committee is that they're already dealing with the student advocacy issues that are pertinent to the committee. So even though I think this will go into the bylaws, which can easily change from year to year, I think require, you know, basically putting it on paper that these people are members of that committee is different.
Yes.
I think I agree with you. I would like to point out that I think there is already some time for that. We do have trouble with that situation. So if we do appoint these people, and at the same time, we
point out that there has to be at least one meeting a month. We're either saying that the subject practices will not go to one to month meeting, or we have to say that it's much higher. I'm just concerned that with that in mind for me, I think we need to make a decision.
Preston and Mike, then Bianca.
Going back to the issue of converting this to the Charter Review Committee, I would just be kind of furious at this current state because of the fact that then we're having that different committees work be dependent on how our charter actually happens. So it would seemingly then tie into resolution separately. So it would probably only be better just to approve this as it stands and then have the onus actually shift to our committee in a situation like this.
Okay, I noticed that it is 6:30 and we still have two things to go over on the agenda. So I'm going to leave it, I'm going to have Mike and DeAndre and Faye raise their hands and then we're going to move on. This has to be brought forward again next meeting or we can put this on the agenda for next meeting and we can discuss it more then. Okay?
Mike. I know that there'll be a whole chart review of the committee that we've got. One of the I think, you know, a lot of people bring up, you know, the good points here. And what I'd just like to say is, the past 4 years of the AFS committee, or the student, whatever it was, the AFS committee has just been an absolute nightmare. You know, there have been years when we've gone through, I think, three pandemic chair. And it's, you know, it really gets to the point where like, something needs to be done with this committee. And I think by at least going through this exercise, and by that, and with Ryan's leadership, we've taken this committee to at least where it needs to be right now. It's done a very good job this year. I just wanted to put that out there and have that said. I'm happy to move forward to this. That means that looking back at some of the institutions in my mind, this is probably as well as coming through, because we do need to have a tight leash somehow on, you know, some of these very important external committees that we appointed. We need to make sure that they're responding to either us or the Team Benefits Committee, or the Student Act Advocacy Committee, some way, somehow. The GPSA has grown really large, really powerful in the past 4 or 5 years. And we built an events committee, and we basically added two committees in the last year, events, and Team Benefits Student Advocacy. With that growth, so that made it much more difficult time for our executives to do all the things that they need. They've done a great job this 6 year handling that. We will have some things to basically wrap the student advocacy committee into an oversight group for a lot of these external committees have a much stronger connection than we have in the past. So whatever that translates out to, I don't know. I think this is a good start. We'll get there.
In the interest of time, I'll say most of my comments for next week when we talk about this, but I just wanted to offer a point of agreement to what Jeremy said, because I think that, you know, at the very minimum, we should make sure that in the job descriptions of each of these committees, we, you know, do notify applicants that they're expected to be, you know, that they might be or will be expected to be part of the additional committee, and I think that'll factor into their decision.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to end discussion on Resolution 5. We'll bring this up at the next meeting. If you have any comments that come to you, please email those to Brian, and he'll be reviewing this document. We'll send it out again before the next meeting. Okay, so then moving on to Resolution 6, and I'm going to hand it over to Brian, I think.
Okay, so our 6 regarding mental health care for pronoun graduate. So this resolution came out of Ms. Bobby Zamaro's work on the Council on Mental Health and Wellness in the past 7 years. And a meeting she and I had with Michelle over at CAP, who's Counseling Psychological Assistance, regarding the status of graduate student mental health care. And there are several deficiencies. I think we have some opportunities in the community, so I don't think that this year
I don't think this is there yet.
But definitely last year there were a couple of years of arguments for discussions about mental health. And so we really just wanted to outline in this resolution what the issues are out there, and also to recommend some actions that can be taken over the immediate future to identify that. So it's kind of long, just one by one.
Perhaps. I has everybody had a chance to read it? Okay, so perhaps we'll just go into discussion. Okay, any comments or questions from the floor? Here.
I'm wondering on the second page, it's going to be for the judicial result. What is the intention? I mean, we want staff to re-examine their policies and shift care. So, I mean, of course, so that questions may repeat the best care possible, but so again, the idea is to consider an intention of that program to track.
There are programs like this one. There is no split care option that we can only have like five hospital services. That exists in the net for a health care, not for mental health.
Do we want them to consider, or do we want to urge them to do it?
I thought this was already in place. I know a colleague who has done this, where they were under mental care off campus, not under CAP. And that's why I'm a little bit confused by the split care business.
But you can be referred.
You can be referred,
yeah,
but...
It's different from seeing someone off campus and
it's that. So I think, as Brian, you was mentioning, like seeing somebody off campus but getting medication through Gannett is an example, or perhaps vice versa.
Or if you're therapy through off campus, because you can get prescriptions from off campus and have them filled at Gannett. So,
but just having the option available to have care from campus
that
and off campus. Okay. So do you want a friendly, I mean, would you accept a friendly amendment to change the wording of the be it therefore resolved statement on split care? Okay. Does somebody want to propose? Okay.
So do we know that split care does not exist for other issues?
we don't know that, then I think we should specify for mental health.
Okay.
And this then should be the report therein.
So, something to that effect, this is not an amendment, I'm just pointing something out to see if this, to clarify what you're saying. So, specifying in that whereas statement something to this effect in red, so split care, coordinated care by Gannett and external providers for mental health care issues is unavailable for graduate professionals. Is that the kind of clarification you're looking for? Okay. Would the authors accept that as a friendly amendment, or? Okay. So, that would go in. Okay, so then the other clarification you're looking for is on this, be it therefore resolved, statement on split care. Okay. So would you like to propose something that perhaps might be accepted as a friendly amendment, or?
Yes. Be further resolved that tax on nutrition, consider extending,
consider
extending
accepted as a friendly amendment. If there's other wording that you think might be similar to what the clarification he's looking for, the cap.
The GPSA urges cap to consider anything. Which is the typically you have the GPSA, but the GPSA
here. Red would be inserted, the highlighted would be deleted from the amendment. Authors? Okay. Any other comments? Amy.
So,
Amy Vendetta.
In the last page, be it further resolved. I think that the membership is too general, it's not very well defined, so I would propose making the following amendment. I propose that it read the following. Be it further resolved that the members of the Working Group on Graduate Professional Student Mental Health and Welfare shall include the following representatives. One member of the graduate school administration, two students elected by the GPSA Student Advocacy Committee, a member of the Office of the Vice President of Students and Academic Services, a member of the CAP Clinical Administration, the GPSA appointee to the CMHW, and then for it to read as follows. The only other thing that I'm not sure how to say in that sentence is I find that the last statement, any other participants invited by GPSA, Gannett, blah, 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 I find that to be very open, and if somebody wanted to, they could overrun this committee with administration. If somebody wanted to, they could overrun it with students. And I don't think either extreme is very healthy in the way it's written right now. It leaves it open to them. So if anybody has some great suggestions.
Okay, so follow up to what Amy has to say, Brian, and then Brian.
So the two things, first, I'm a little hesitant when you say elected by the GPSA advocacy.
Appointed?
Appointed, okay.
Appointed by the GPSA advocacy committee.
So elected makes it sound like this.
Okay.
And second, the reason the last statement, that was for just because we're not, you know, this is who we think is important. We could be missing something. And if we just go in and say, these people, you know, then we may get hit with the later problem of, well, what about this person?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why that one was left a little ambiguous, just because, you know, those are the people we think should be on that committee, but like I said, we may be missing someone, and that statement amounts them in. But that one wants to be completely closed off group.
Okay, so follow up.
Yeah, I might add to that. I think that would be a good addition to solve that problem just to get that and approve the best we got.
Any other participants?
Invited by the people and approved by the people.
And approved by GSA or. I mean, because who can admit, in all honesty, the committee has to come under some group's oversight. And for it to come under a subcommittee's oversight, is usually not the best option. They usually want it under the oversight of somebody like GPSA, student assembly, or some office on campus.
So right now it's the oversight of the council that's probably one that's going to be an offshoot of that. So is that part of the issue with
okay, so the people that I have already pointed out, Asha, Yern, and Basabi, you had something new to point out, not a follow-up on it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's cover those first, and then we'll see what time it is. Asha?
Well, I just wanted to think for Brian's point on people who might get a one-hand that. Shall include that it's not limited.
And then block that, or then strike that last sentence.
Yes. Yeah. And strike the other sentence.
Okay. So it would say here shall include is not limited to, and then it would strike. Yeah. Well, I'll wait. Okay.
Because we have this on the table first.
Right. But it wasn't actually stated at the motion.
I did state the motion.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear it stated at the motion. Yes. Okay. So I didn't ask for a second or anything.
But I changed the motion.
Okay. All right. Okay, so it was brought to my attention that there's a motion on the table. And so we should consider that motion. Amy, can you please state your motion again, please?
Okay, let it read as follows. And I'll include this in here as well for voucher suggestions, so we can try to be efficient. So, these for the result that the members of the Working Group on Graduate and Professional Student Mental Health and Welfare shall include, but is not limited to, the following representatives. Following, one member of the Graduate School Administration, two students appointed by the DPSA Student Advocacy, a member of the Office of the Vice President of Student Academic Services, a member of the CAPS Clinical Administration, the DPSA appointee to the CMHW, Catherine such and such, and Tim Marcel, Director of Mental Health Initiatives at Gannett Health Services, and then strike the remainder up through the semicolon.
Okay, so there's a motion on the table as stated by Amy. Do I have a second? Okay. All right, well, do you want to take it as a friendly amendment? Okay, so then the resolution would be rephrased so that this statement here is as Amy just suggested. Yuren? I can't hear you.
I didn't hear which sentence.
The first sentence of the further resolved that the members of the whatever
shall include, but
are not limited to.
But not be limited to. That's the next thing.
But what is
that? Include, but not be limited to.
Okay, so Betsy.
I just wanted to clarify the difference between something like this.
Right.
Could you refer to outpatient and SwitchCare? SwitchCare situation has two providers, and you can see it where I would refer to out, which is two providers. So I think that's the issue, the fact that you have two people that need to talk to each other that are treating you.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. All right, so are there any other comments? I'm sorry? In the statement that I've highlighted?
Well, the statement that you just had to say that we're doing right through that.
Right.
But the one that you dropped out also, I think, should be in the result.
That. Friendly amendment? It would be consistent with the other statement.
Friendly amendment. Be present to resolve that the GPSA request.
Okay. All right. So, any other comments? All right. Then, do we want to put a motion on the table to approve the amendment with this statement highlighted as Amy previously stated it, and I will get that wording from Amy after the meeting?
So moved.
I have a friendly amendment.
Right. Right. But I'm just saying you're not voting on what is being shown right here. You're being voted on what's being shown here, but what Amy said.
So,
it's a friendly
so
amendment.
We're voting on the motion.
We're voting on the resolution as presented here.
Motion on the previous question.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor of the resolution, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 in favor. Any opposed? An abstention? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 abstentions. Motion passes. 12 in favor. 5 abstentions. Okay, I will get that wording from Amy, and then we'll get the resolution on. Thanks, guys, for your work.
May I make the motion? Extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Okay, there's a motion on the table to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Second.
Okay, second. In favor, please. Thank you, Patrick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in favor, opposed, abstentions. 1, 2, 3 abstentions. Okay, so we'll go until 7:10. We're at 6:55 by my watch. So now, Yearn and Nighthawk.
So, we have the meeting before there was a break that the mentioned by Mohammed, we had a consider the inclusion of the funding heading group, or more generally, find a way to fund groups or such organizations which are somehow associated with the particular So, if the proposal is to be the idea behind this is that if there are groups forming, they should have somehow some leeway or some way of getting money without having to go through the so that they can call a meeting for the student body and then they have essentially that they have funds available that's more than the donor. And so this is the proposal of that. There are some positive aspects to this. One is that one can make the funding a citizen part of the special organization. Making sure that the course we are currently have some, or I think, we're having good and it's an important effort to sort of raise our course, but I think it's not but I suppose that we still have to do
there's 30 pump fields that are
You're not overstepping any bounds with that thing.
So this could be a way of the thing. So you can get this funding, but only if there is someone present at those meetings. And then in general, this could help alleviate some problems. But there are huge groups, like for example, the Johnson College Student Council, which currently say, look, they currently have, I don't know, 600 members or 700 members. And then the SC rules for annual budget say that we can only give them, $1,000 or so, and then one has to argue over here, they're exceptionally large, so we give them more budget. But in principle, it would be nice to have this more organized. So, this proposal I'm running fund out two. So, you see, this would somehow lead to the entity, which is called a new organization. Such an organization would still have to register with the community office, and then they should be present as a charter, they should have to meet at least once a semester, they should have to elect their officers, they should be able to fill those seats and forth. How would we reach those things? How would we make sure that these groups exist? Well, we do have the sense to be director of graduate studies of all those fields, and we could have sent those GDSs an email asking if they forward this to the student body. And so then people should be aware that these groups exist or could exist, and they could thus form these groups. So that's essentially the first stage of forming. And then the funding need not be limited to those groups can apply for other funding programs. So it should be that they have this amount that comes to the fifth category six. They could select programs that are still some special funding programs that have to be given. That it would give them some funding which encourage the existence of those special programs. And then in the second phase, you see suggested numbers for how much money these should get. This is roughly the idea that they should get 200 for any organization that goes up more or less with $2 per student. So I would suggest that we first discuss the merits of the proposal and then start talking about money and I think that this discussion is will probably we should also have a before meeting this night and then also present it for this meeting so we can already get
to it. Asha, then Nighthawk, and then Mario.
Sure. I have in my field, we have a
or
and
how does that, how does this
sort of
funding work? Does
that work for one field? So the field is called the there is the actual graduate student, the teaching program under policy, not in the
Well, I mean, anything you're talking about. I mean, as this is written now, it actually sounds like one of those organizations. In the text here, it says that one of those organizations would have to be, because if there's question of which, what organization is represented, the OGS would say, this is the organization around which we're doing this. That would not include any other organization. We're still applying for funding, and we're not applying for funding. It's just that the designation of the organization is for
Yeah, so it sounds like this is something that perhaps you could be in consultation with them about.
So well, I mean, I'm not sure if other fields haven't been consulted.
But it might warrant investigation to see how many other fields might have the same situation. If not any other, then, but if there are others, then it might need to be worked into the work. Nighthawk, and then Mario, and then Preston.
I'd just like to mention that, in addition to what Jordan was saying about when the funding policy committee discussed it, some of the rationale behind having these field organizations, like you have a graduate student association, how these are fundamentally different than some of the other organizations, which is why we're trying to separate them out of this separate category, aside from the fact of having, being able to facilitate and hopefully facilitate for representation. These fields, when they apply to the GPSA currently, a lot of times they're applying for money for events that are really primarily intended for these are a weekly seminar series in, you know, something like natural resources. We have a weekly seminar series that is in part funded by the GDFAFC. There's a lot of departments that we fund for those sorts of things. It says in the GDFAFC, by the way, that all events are required to be open and, you know, and advertised to the entire Christian community. That in practice does not happen with field organizations, and so it's sort of something that we're overlooking. And we don't like that in the bylaw, the fact that we have a rule, we're overlooking it because these field organizations are somewhat different in how they run business, and we appreciate that. So trying to formalize the fact that we realize these organizations are somewhat different in the way that they're constructed, in their academic and social purpose, to the constituents, and your form like that as well.
Mario?
I just wanted to thank you for adding the accountability aspect. I think that when we talk about charter bylaws and certainly in that same vein that we add that, I read it over, but I'm forgetting and my computer died a particular way. But I would add that for these field organizations, that the money be tied to everything, not just this new designation of money, but that if you're a field organization and that if you're not sending a core member, that you don't have access to the money. Because I think, it may already be there. Maybe you could strengthen it. But that, to me, again, holding these schools accountable, to come and send a rep would be great. If it's not there, if it isn't, disregard.
Is it a follow-up point?
What's happening there is that they can make an funding, and then if they had applied for funding in other categories, that would not be effective. I think in a way that would be fair because that other funding would be contingent on all the other things that we have to cover. There could be events that appeal to all of our students, so then they would be treated as any other organization. So just in that respect, they would be different. The events that they would be going to would be different from the organization that doesn't have the responsibility to send funding before in the first place. I would think it would not necessarily be fair to extend that to over everything. I agree, and this is in here, that if they don't send it, if they don't send someone, which is defined as the executive chair notifying the committee, and then they won't get this.
Rebecca, is this follow-up?
Yeah, it's a follow-up.
Okay.
Does that mean, like, for example, the GCSA asked you for an organization to not have a core representative, a field organization, not a core representative, but they apply for outside funding? Now that we have to show
that this is more of a show of interest, it would be intended
for the general
rather than the
anyone
can come,
but really
interested in the field. So, if I understand your question, you're asking whether you're continuing over looking that, you know, be a field for everyone.
Yeah.
I think the idea would be that then we look at it and find it.
And Christian.
Future time, I will have a question, but I will just say that I hope that the situation for our class is going to be the opportunity to talk to the next speakers. And I'd be interested in discussing further if you would outside of the question.
Okay, any other comments or questions, Brian?
Sure, would you want to define what the name is?
We essentially did not want to do much because the FDA has no way of knowing it doesn't come. So it would be up to the right to know the FDA. And then I would prefer that we could do for our team.
We purposely left the vague so that it would be less touch. Because, well, I think it's hard for me to think that if a core member is absent for 2 weeks without an excuse, that member can be removed by the executive vice president. Then it wouldn't be the committee trying to overrule the power of the vice president to say, you know, we think that we should not be able to take the vice president's responsibility. So, that's all.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, so this is a document for you to review. If you have more comments or questions as they come to you, please email them to Nighthawk and Yearn. So this is the kind of stuff that will eventually be going to the Charter Review Committee?
It's just for the bylaws.
For the bylaws of the FC.
Bylaws of the FC, which does not have to go through the 2 meetings.
Right. Please send your comments on. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn. Word of thanks for sending the meeting. You're in my comments.
Okay, I'll just have an oral. All in favor of say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned at 7:08 p.m.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.